capiți? Já deu o cartão? I've been instructed by God to go through some myth and some truth about divine healing. So for the next few months, I'll be dealing with the truth about healing. And today is part number one. Unfortunately, I believe for the disappointment of the Holy Spirit, the master has been enslaved by the slave. So what? The master has been enslaved by the slave. What do you mean? According to the scriptures, in Luke 10:19, the Lord tells us that we have been given power. Brother preacher, give me Luke 10:19. Listen to this. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snake and scorpion and crush them. Nothing will injure you. You have been empowered with authority to override the power of the enemy. Are we together here? This is not Pastor Paul's idea. It's on the book. Now, the New King James makes it even easier for you to understand. Watch this. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now, let me bring your attention to two simple facts here. Serpents are not your friends. When they bite, they kill you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Scorpions are not your friends either. When they bite, it burns. The serpent is a symbol of Satan. The scorpion is a symbol of cancer and diseases. People who have gastrointestinal disease often tells me that they feel a burn within. Is that right? People who has urinary tract infection, when they are urinating, they said it comes like it's burning. Isn't that right? People who have diverticulosis, they say that when they evacuate, it comes like fire. I believe strongly that the scorpion mention has to do with illnesses that kills you. He's saying here, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of Satan, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now listen to this, how crazy it gets. Give me the backslide translation here, brother. Watch this. See? What I've given you, safe passage as you walk on the snake and the scorpions, and protection from every assault of the enemy. Here comes the best. No one can put a hand on you. Tell your neighbor, the devil cannot put a hand on you. It's in the book. Folks, there is a myth about sickness. What's the myth? There are several of them. One of them is that you got sick, you gotta go to the doctor. I will not stand here and tell you don't go to the doctor, because some of you just don't have enough faith not to go to the doctor. But please don't judge or condemn those who don't. Why am I saying this? Because sickness is no more natural than sin. Is anybody listening to me here? In Genesis 1:31, listen to this. Genesis 1:31, we learn that God made all things what? Huh? Let's read it again. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. Everything that God made was very good. You and I, when we were created, we are very good. And this is the way that it's supposed to be. And then you say, okay, how does it tie with sickness? We should not look for the remedy of sin in the natural, should we? If somebody starts murdering people, you put them in jail, they will murder people in jail if they can. Isn't that right? So what you're saying? That we should seek for remedy for both sin and sickness in God. We should seek for remedy for sin from God, who created us healthy, is strong, and to have fellowship with him. So that myth that when you get sick, you gotta go to the doctor, it's not quite necessarily true. Why do you say that? Because both sin and sickness came into the world through the fall of human race. Therefore, as we look for God for salvation of our souls, we must look for healing in the same Savior that saved the human race. Did you understand what I said? Let me give you a few examples. When God called his children out of Egypt, he made a covenant of healing with them. Did y'all know that? Brother preacher, give them Exodus 15:26. Let's start with the Message Bible. Watch this. When God brought his children out of Egypt, he didn't make that covenant with the Egyptians. He did not make that covenant with the Canaanites. He did not make that covenant with the people from Assyria or Turkey, neither with Babylon, Iraq, nor Iran. That covenant was made with his children. Therefore, you and I, being children of God, should be part of the same covenant. Listen to this. That's the place where God set up what? Rules and procedures. How do I proceed when I am sick? Hold on. That's where he started testing them. God said, if you listen obediently to how God tells you to live in his presence, obeying his commandments, and keep all his law, then I won't strike you with all the diseases that I inflicted on the Egyptians. Why? I am God, your healer. So what is the procedure? When sickness strikes, you go to your God, who is your healer. And let God take care of that thing. Are we together so far? Alas, we would have an open heart to believe God's word so quick as we do believe the words of a doctor. Wouldn't that be nice? Listen to the NLT. Give me the NLT here, brother. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commandments and keeping all his decrees, then
I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent from the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.
Now, for those of you who don't believe that Jesus Christ was present on the Old Testament, here's the proof. Somebody's talking. He. Third person of the singular. Is that right? So somebody's talking, and it's not God. He who? Jesus. Prove it. He says, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God. So he is talking about the Lord. My God, isn't that right? And do what is right in his sight. Whose sight? The Lord your God. Obey his commandment. Your God, his commandment and his decree. Then I. Now it changes. It's no longer. You notice what I'm saying here? Somebody's talking here. And that person is Jesus. I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. Why? I am the Lord who heals you. So what you're saying? Whenever sickness hit, if you don't have enough faith to believe, go see the doctor. Whenever you get the diagnosis, then go to your God. He says in here that he is your healer. Isn't that right? Just to give you an idea how crazy things get. When we went to see Dr. Wu, he says that from that day forth, I had to put my head into a bag and then turn on some oxygen so I could sleep. That's when I really laughed. And he got angry at me. Say, what? You have to put, there's an equipment right now that the insurance will pay for it. You put your head inside that bag and wrap it up. And then you turn on the oxygen tank and you will sleep very good. Really? And for how long I gotta do this? Until the day you die. Then I really laugh at him. I'm going to talk to another physician, a better doctor. Who? Dr. J.C. Crazy? Did you know that I have had the best night of rest ever the last 3 weeks? Whatever they said, my doctor will override because he says, I am the Lord who heals you. It does not matter how my body feels. It does not matter what the doctor says. That word will override what any doctor have said. It gets better. When we go to the same Exodus, chapter 23, verse 25, it gets better. Exodus 23, 25. Give me the Message Bible now. Would you care to read it with me? But you serve your God.
He'll bless your
Are y'all getting this? He's telling you, okay, go on, serve your God. Go on, serve your God. And when you're serving him, God the Father is going to bless your food. What that means, you're not going to lack food. You'll bless your water. And Jesus says, and I will take care of the sickness. Isn't that great? I will get rid of the sickness among you. Is anybody listening to this? So it does not matter what the doctor says. Jesus said, what I'm asking you boys and girls to do is serve the Lord your God. That's what you're supposed to do. Why do you supposed to do that? So he can bless you. He can bless your food. He can bless your water. He can bless you all over. What about my sickness? Jesus said, don't worry about that. I'll take care of it. I'll get rid of it. Isn't that what he's saying here? I'll get rid of the sickness among you. I was talking to Jesus and playing dumb. I said, Lord, what's going on here? I mean, I don't see many people being healed lately on the services like before. The Lord said, so what's the big deal? So, you know, some people may think that you're not healing anymore. What? They are already healed. That's why I don't see people coming for healing. My bad. The Lord promises to take sickness from among us when we make up our minds to serve him. Say amen. Amen. So, what's the conclusion, preacher? I'm going to tell you this. Throughout history, we find out that in times of sickness and pestilence, when God's people turn back to God and they repent and confess their sins, and their sins are forgiven, they were all healed from their sicknesses. I don't want to start on this next one because it's going to take me a while. But next week, I want to go with you in a deeper depth to show you that when God's people change their way of living, change their behavior, and get their act together, sickness does not stand a chance. Not a bit of it. And I will prove it to you. I'm going to give you a scripture for you to chew on your way home. Right? Let's go to 1 John. Chapter 3. And I want verse 8. I want you to chew on this scripture here. Those who make a practice of sin are straight from the devil. The pioneer in the practice of sin. But that's where he got busted. The Son of God entered the scene to abolish the devil's way. Now give them the New Inspired Version. Watch this. Never inspired version. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning, that low life. The reason the Son of God appeared was did y'all hear that? Throughout history, when God's people turn around, get their act together, and ask God forgiveness for their sins, Jesus will come and destroy the devil's work. Say amen.
Amen.
So what you're saying, preacher? When we understand that the devil has nothing to say on our lives, no say whatsoever, and we stop practicing sin, cancer don't stand a chance in our lives. I want to show you yet one more scripture. Give me the NLT, brother. Not a translation, rather. But when the people keep on sinning, guess what? It shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Tell your neighbor, Jesus came to destroy the cancer trying to attack you.
Jesus came to destroy the cancer trying to attack you.
Are we together? Don't you ever be fooled into thinking that there is a type of disease that Jesus cannot heal. Impossible. He was manifested. He came to destroy every single work of the devil. You may ask, so why then I haven't seen healing for this and that and the other? I don't know. But the book says that he came to destroy every single work of the devil. Say with me, cancer.
Yes,
you don't have a chance.
You don't have a chance.
My Lord has come.
My Lord has come
to destroy you.
To destroy you.
Plain and simple. Bow your heads with me. Father God, thank you so much for such powerful promises that we have in your word. Help us, Lord, now to believe your word. I guess, Lord, the greatest sickness that the church has today is unbelief and doubt. Have mercy on us, Lord. Purify us and wash us in the blood of Jesus against the spirit of doubt and unbelief. We believe your word, Lord. We take possession of your word, Lord. And your word said that my Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, came to destroy the works of the devil. And we know that cancer and diseases are work of the devil because he's a low life. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But you came that we may have life and life abundantly. So thank you, Lord, for destroying cancer today. For destroying inherited diseases and chronic diseases, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.